All right, Perichot Aleph. What do we got? Questions, comments?
I just thought it was interesting. In the first pasuk says all the toys are that Hashem drove out, like specifically going to the point that it wasn't just Chizkia. Looks like it said.
Second
was evil matters and like the nations that Hashem had driven out before the children of Israel.
Right. Very good. And again, like sort of, I guess Chizkiyahu in the last parashah trying to take credit for things, and now I'm saying, once again, you don't do everything by yourself. I was there. Okay, very nice. What else?
Menashe really did everything.
Menashe's what?
He did everything.
Yeah.
He's the classic.
He goes
the
to a whole new level. Classic rabbi son. Totally goes off the derech. He did. You know, he's got a tongue ring. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to
he
just
wears
have
the
you
jean
know.
Pants.
Okay.
He did everything.
It's
a great metaphor.
I mean, I'm from his rabbi's son. He's not really taking this so well, but all right.
That's also a lawyer.
And that's what keeps him from. Every kid's got to rebel. So you rebel against either the rabbi part of his father or the lawyer part of his father. There you go. What else?
It's a great metaphor.
Which one?
What about a plane being turned upside down? The cleaning of a plate thoroughly.
Yeah. Wiping out Yerushalayim. Pretty scary destruction. All right, look at Chet and Tet. Read Chet and Tet again. What are the reasons why Bnei Israel was sent into Galut?
And I shall no longer cause the feet of Israel to wander from the land that I have given to their forefathers, provided they are careful to act according to all that I have commanded them, and do the entire Torah my servant Moshe commanded them. But they did not listen to Menashe and Moshe, and do more evil nations that Hashem had destroyed from before the children of Israel.
All right, so what's the condition that we get Eretz Israel? We got to keep the Torah. All right, that's the condition. Bnei Israel, they were worse than the Goyim before them. So, as he says, you're going to be driven out. Now, what does Menashe do where he takes it to a whole new level? How is he worse than, forget about, you know, obviously he's worse than his father, the Tzaddik. He's worse than his grandfather. What'd he do?
Put stuff in the Beit HaMikdash.
He put stuff in the Beit HaMikdash. He kills innocent people. All right? Look at the Pasuk Tet Zayin. Dam Naki Shafach Menashe Harbei Ma'od. Lots of innocent blood is spilled. Right? When, he has all sorts of abominations going on here. According to the Gemara, he kills Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu, who lives through the age of 120, is killed by Menashe. Right? Because anyone who opposed him, Yeshayahu comes to give him Musar. He kills. Now, based on the Gemara Brachos that I told you before, why is that even more troublesome? How are they related? That's his grandfather. So he didn't just kill the greatest Navi, 120 years old, who's been serving Klal Yisrael. You killed your grandfather. Why? He gave you Musar. No, okay. Really rebellious.
It's interesting that he wasn't buried with his forefathers.
Right.
Every single king was buried with their forefathers.
Except we said, according to Reyamim, Achaz wasn't.
Oh.
We said that right. They're very young. But over here, right. We're saying that he doesn't merit getting buried with his forefathers. Now, what the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us, Rami, I think you mentioned it once.
Yeah.
What was the whole idea? How do we understand Avodah Zarah during the time of Menashe? So what do you remember about this Gemara?
I remember some rabbi was saying how could someone worship idols or I don't even understand what worshiping idols is. And Menashe shows up to him in a dream and says, if you were in my day, you wouldn't be able to.
Good. This rabbi is giving Shir and he's belittling Menashe. And yet Shir ended with a question. All right, there's a question about something in Hilchos Shabbos. So in his dream, Menashe comes to him and says, listen, as far as Hilchos Shabbos, you know, the answer is obvious. It's this and this and this. And he goes, well, if you're so smart, how do you do Avodah Zarah? He goes, you're a moron. There's a real Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. If you would have been living on my day, you would have lifted your toga to beat me to get there first. You know? That's this is one thing that we have to understand. That there is a Yetzirah, and we don't understand it. And I tell you the whole thing where I taught my kids Chumash, and I taught them what it means that, what, you know, the, how you have children.
No.
Okay.
I remember that.
So my kids are like second grade. Right, I'm learning with my kids, and I tell them, Tisham Chumash, Adam Yadas Chama. I explain what that means. And my second grade son looks at me and goes, that's disgusting. I'm not doing that. Right? And if you think about it, you know, if there's no Yetzirah, it does sound really disgusting. So I'm like saying, listen, you know, it's a mitzvah, you got him. And he goes, all right, I guess if it's a mitzvah. So I was like thinking, okay, kid's seven, you know, see what he thinks when he's 17. But you know, but if there's no Yetzirah, then things, like, it just sounds ridiculous. So here, Avodah Zarah to us sounds ridiculous. We have no Yetzirah. And what Menashe is saying was there was a real Yetzirah for this.
Yeah, but it's okay? Like he was doing it also specifically to mock Hashem. He was profuse in doing what was evil and asked Hashem to anger him.
Okay.
So, dude, like, that's not like... It's not like Yetzirah is
no,
like,
I'm saying
oh,
in
no,
his day.
Slipped.
I'm just saying Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Or there's another opinion that Bnei Yisrael was smart enough to know that Avodah Zarah was stupid. But they liked the perks that came with it. There was all sorts of orgies. So they said, wait, you know, to get that girl, I just have to bow down to this idol? Fine, I'm in. Like, they didn't do it because they believed in it. I thought that was stupid. But it was for the Yetzirah for Arias that gave them, they gave themselves a heter to do the Avodah Zarah. Right? There's a Midrash that says that's how the, you know, Midian got Bnei Yisrael to sin. You know, they were out there by the tents. You just have to, you know, defecate in front of Baal Peor. And they said, okay, that's like disrespecting it, but that was really the way to serve it. So that was Aser. So two different views of how to understand this. But we do see in our parak is there's, if we say this idea of Gil Arias, it was Gil Arias, Shvichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah. And we see over here, where Chazal talk about the three cardinal sins were being violated, we see it just in this parak. Right? The Gil Arias would be part of the Avodah Zarah. We see that the streets were filled with blood at the time of Menashe. So the three cardinal sins were being violated in this time, we understand. Now, here's the crazy thing. Turn to Divrei Yamin, that 33:10-18. Okay, page 2011. Read. Page 2011.
No, chapter 33, Lamed Gimel, Psukim Yud 3, Yud Chet. Hashem spoke to Menashe, his people did not listen. So Hashem brought against them the officers of the kings of Ashur, and they captured Menashe with hunting hooks. Bound him in chains and led him off to Babylonia. But in his distress, he beseeched Hashem, his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and he was treated by him, and he heard his supplication, and he returned him to Yerushalayim, to his kingship. The Menashe realized that Hashem's God. After this, he built an outer wall for the city of David to the west of the Gihon Brook, approaching the fish gate and going around to the Ophel, and he raised it to a great height. He also placed army officers in all the fortified cities of Judah. He removed the strange god and the image from the temple of Hashem, and all the altars that he had built on the mountain of the temple of Hashem in Yerushalayim, discarding them outside the city. He rebuilt the altar of Hashem and slaughtered peace offerings and thanksgiving offerings on it, and he commanded Yehuda to worship Hashem, the God of Israel. However, the people still brought offerings to the high places, albeit to Hashem, their God. The rest of the deeds of Menashe, his prayer to his God, and the words of the seers who spoke to him, in the name of Hashem, God of Israel, behold, there in the Chronicles of King Israel.
So what do we see in Divrei Yamim? Menashe does tshuva. Menashe does tshuva. He totally rectifies. He gets rid of everything that he did before. So now the question is, how come it's not found in Sefer Melachim? How come Ephraim, who didn't bring a whole Tanakh, if he would just read Melachim, would say, wow, Menashe is just a really bad dude. But if you look into Divrei Yamim, it seems like he totally did tshuva.
He went back to where he was originally.
So you want to say it was short-lived. Okay, the Abar Benel has an idea, and he says like this. It wasn't heartfelt. Okay? Turn, for example, to Malachim. Read, you have the next one. Read Chaf Gimel Pasuk Chaf Hey. In Malachim.
Chaf Hey?
Yeah.
Before him, there had never been a king like him who returned to Hashem with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his resources, and granted the entire Torah of Moses, and after him, no one rose like him.
Okay, before him and after him, that was real heartfelt tshuva. But over here, why did Menashe do tshuva? Under duress, he was captured. You know, there's no atheist in a foxhole. He turns to God. I guess he's the son of Chizkiyahu, so he knows a little bit about that. Before he went off to Derech, his father probably sent him to, you know, some sort of yeshiva. So he returned Shav. Okay. But the fact that our Perek ends with his son Amon totally going in the ways of Menashe from Malachim shows that he wasn't so impressed by his father's tshuva. He didn't say, wow, the whole family did tshuva, I'm going to do tshuva too. He continues in the ways of Menashe. It's interesting that the two most wicked kings, Achab and Menashe, do tshuva. All right, Achab does tshuva. Eliyahu's not happy with the tshuva, but Achab does tshuva, Menashe does tshuva. These are two of the three that don't have a Sharon Olam Haba up there with Yerubba ben Avat. But the damage is done. It's not considered heartfelt. And all it does is delay the punishment. So Abar ben El says, and this is we're going to finish with, Abar ben El says, who wrote Sefer Malachim and who wrote Divrei Yamin? Okay, according to the Gemara, Yirmiyahu wrote Malachim, but Ezra wrote Divrei Yamin. So Yirmiyahu, who lived closer to the time period, he was there at the time of the Korban, he knew that this wasn't sincere. That's why he didn't even bother writing it down. I'm going to write down that fake tshuva that he did. That whole thing was just because he was captured and he needed God's help, but he didn't really care. Ezra, who was further away from the time period, just found, you know, records of Menashe doing it about face. Oh, she put this in. You know, King of Israel did it about face. That's important. We should all learn from the tshuva that he did. But since Ezra wasn't a Navi, he didn't know that it wasn't heartfelt, and he put it in. But Yirmiyahu, who did, he doesn't bother putting it in. We'll just add one last thing. Divrei Hayyamim. Go back to Divrei Hayyamim about Amon ben Menashe. That's not in our parak. Divrei Hayyamim, bet 33, 21 to 24.
Amon was 22 years old when he became king. He reigned for 2 years. He finally did what was evil in the eyes of Hashem. As his father had done, he sacrificed all the idols that his father Menashe had made, and he worshipped them. He did not humble himself before Hashem as his father Menashe had humbled himself, for he, Amon, incurred much guilt. His servants conspired against him and killed him in his palace. The people of the land struck down all the conspirators against King Amon. The people of the land crowned Yoshio, his son.
What do we see here? He also was under some sort of pressure. Clearly, it was a rebellion that ended up killing him. He could have turned to God the way his father did in a time of crisis, but he went one step further. All right? And he said, I'm not going to even go through some fake tshuva, because I don't believe in this. So, you know, he's even worse in that respect than Menashe was. All right, we'll stop here. Shkoyach. Tomorrow we'll go back to regular time.